This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Anita Rao in for Frank Stacio. North Carolina Treasurer Dale Folwell has spent the past year advocating to overhaul the state health plan. He wants to change pricing structure and reimbursement rates to save money. But not many hospitals and providers have signed on. They argue that these changes would hurt their ability to serve patients. As the controversy heats up between two sides, there are more than 700,000 North Carolinians who are left wondering what their health care is going to look like next year. WNC data reporter Jason DeBruin has been following this story, and he joins us now. Jason, welcome.
Hey there.
So we said more than 700,000 North Carolinians. Who are we talking about here?
So it's mostly state employees and then their dependents, and that's everybody. I mean, so you and me included, by the way, but, you know, teachers, DOT workers, just anytime there's a state employee, think that person, and then, of course, their dependents as well.
And tell us about Dale Folwell's plan. What's he trying to do?
Two main points to his what he's calling the clear pricing project. One is to reduce costs. He doesn't want to pay as much. But the other is to bring transparency into how we pay or how the state health plan pays for health care. So he initially wanted to save about $300 million. He's backed that down now to about $200 million. But the mechanism by which he wants to save that money is to peg every reimbursement to what Medicare pays. So a private health insurer, as you know, would negotiate a reimbursement rate for everything, a knee replacement or hip replacement or anything else with a hospital. Dale has said, no, I don't want to do that. We're just going to peg everything to whatever Medicare pays. We're going to pay about 200% of that. The other portion is the transparency part, where it really is a black box as to what a health insurer actually reimburses a healthcare provider for any given service. And so he wants that to be a little bit less of a black box.
Okay. So this may say, I mean, what's the problem that hospitals are having? We're saying save money for the state government as well as state employees.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so that the money savings would be partly for the state in direct reimbursements and then also for state employees and their co-pays. So that's where some of the savings come in. And what the hospitals are saying is, what's interesting is, you know, we've sort of allowed a system to exist where private health insurance payers end up subsidizing what hospitals provide in charity care and the money that they lose on Medicaid and also even Medicare patients. Instead of having a robust system where, you know, Medicaid pays hospitals enough for them to survive, hospitals actually lose money on Medicaid patients, and clearly they lose money when they give away charity care or offer care to people for free, like if they have a heart attack and don't have health insurance, or in a car accident and don't have health insurance. And the system that we've allowed to basically exist is that private health insurance pays more than really what the actual costs are. And so those additional costs then end up subsidizing the charity care that hospitals provide. Well, what Treasurer Folwell is saying is that it shouldn't be up to the state health plan. It shouldn't be up to state employees to subsidize that care. If we in North Carolina think that it's a good thing to provide that care, which I think many people argue that it is a good thing, that's well and good, but it shouldn't come on the backs of state employees and other private health insurance payers. It should come through some other mechanism, perhaps, you know, an expansion of Medicaid or some other way.
So instead of private negotiations, he wants to tie reimbursement to a percentage of Medicaid. Do we know how this will affect hospitals and their operating budgets?
Well, it would give them less money, of course.
Okay.
I mean, the total financial hit to hospitals would be in the neighborhood of $300 to $400 million. So, you know, even though that's maybe not a huge, you know, a huge amount compared to hospitals that in some cases do $1 billion or two or even $3 billion in total revenue, I mean, $400 million, I mean, that's real money. So there would be a significant hit to hospitals around the state, particularly to some of the rural hospitals that that are already on pretty thin margins. Now, I should add that in the Clear Pricing Project, what the state health plan would pay, they would actually pay rural hospitals more than they pay urban hospitals. The thinking there being that urban hospitals tend to run a little bit wider margins. They tend to make, even though they're not for profit, they make more money than do the rural hospitals, which are often on thinner margins.
So we're in an interesting time period right now, which you have called a game of chicken.
Yeah,
so tell
right.
us about what's going on and where we stand in the timeline.
Well, and that's what's sort of interesting about this is that, let me speak directly to state employees. don't get worried today because nothing is changing today or tomorrow. The plan that you have right now is the plan that's going to be in place all the way through December 31st. Although the treasurer has proposed, you know, what he wants to do to peg payments to Medicare, no hospitals have signed on. And so what's going to happen if no hospitals ultimately do sign on is that all of those hospitals will be out of network. And I think anybody that's familiar with health insurance will know that there's a pretty significant price difference for you, the individual, between an in-network and an out-of-network provider. Now, that system works pretty well, right? Because if you're in-network, then that means that the health insurer has negotiated a more favorable rate for you. Let's just use an example. UNC is in network, Duke is out of network. Well, that's well and good that I'm then financially encouraged to go to UNC, but I still have the option to go to Duke. If I want to, I go in with eyes wide open. I know it's going to cost me a little bit more. No big deal. I've got that choice. Well, of course, if all hospitals are out of network, then I don't really have a choice to choose an in-network hospital over an out-of-network one. And then whenever I do go to any hospital, say to have a baby or you know who knows what else I might go to a hospital for, then the state health plan is going to reimburse that hospital a fixed amount pegged to Medicare. And guess who the hospital is going to come to for the remainder of that bill? Well, it's going to be me. And of course, at that out-of-network rate. So that's why I say it's a game of chicken, because as long as hospitals band together, they have sort of a power in numbers, if you will, because it's going to, you know, put pressure on the treasurer's office to try to renegotiate a rate. But of course, the treasurer as of yet hasn't backed down. And so we're sort of barreling towards January 1st, which is when all of the current plans expire. It's certainly possible that all these hospitals will ultimately be out of network.
Talk about some of the political implications of this and maybe give us a sense of where this falls along political lines. Is it a strict Democrat-Republican issue in terms of people who are supporting or against it?
It's definitely not. The phrase politics makes strange bedfellows certainly applies here. This is not a partisan issue. Certainly the treasurer is a Republican, but you know he may as well be a Democrat. That this isn't necessarily something that's Democrats versus Republicans. You know, certainly with Republicans being in control of the legislature right now, there are more Republicans that are on his side, but I think that's as much just a factor of there just being more Republicans in power than Democrats. So it's not exactly a partisan issue. And you know, it's also even interesting, the State Employees Association of North Carolina, SENIC, it's the organization that represents state employees across the state, in many ways can be seen as kind of a union, right? It's a way for state employees to band together and sort of collectively bargain in some ways for more power. Well, it's pretty strange when you see a union siding with a pretty staunch Republican in Treasurer Falwell. So, it's not exactly a partisan issue.
So I want to get into a little bit more of the politics and this PR battle that's happening right now between the treasurer and hospitals. And I want to talk about the strategy and techniques used by both sides. But let's listen to a clip first about a personal attack ad aired last week that was paid for by Affordable Healthcare for North Carolina, which is a group advocating on behalf of SEANC, the State Employees Association of North Carolina. Let's listen.
Mike Waldron runs a nonprofit hospital. Why is he so obsessed with making a profit?
A man makes $1.2 million a year.
But refusing to sign the state health plan.
Out of your own selfishness, you're not going to cover state employees, teachers, retirees.
It's not right.
It's predatory.
It's flat out greed.
So that's a recent ad paid for by Affordable Healthcare for North Carolina. What's going on in that ad? Tell me about the strategy that's being used here.
So it's the group Affordable Healthcare for North Carolina. It's funded by SENIC, the State Employees Association. They've singled out Mike Waldron, who's the CEO of Vidant Healthcare, the hospital system in Eastern North Carolina, basically saying that he makes $1 million and here you are potentially not even going to be able to go to Vidant. Clearly, that's a bit of an exaggeration, right? I mean, patients, even if they have to pay the out-of-network rate, would still be able to go to Vidant Healthcare. And furthermore, you know, the man's salary probably doesn't have really much of an effect on what we're talking about here. Remember, at the top, we talked about somewhere in the neighborhood of $300 to $400 million that's going to be cut from hospitals. Well, you're not going to find $400 million in one person's salary, right? So it's an effective ad, obviously, because you know, it's sort of easy for somebody that makes five figures to look at a hospital CEO that makes $1 million or more and say, oh, he's trying to cut my healthcare. Well, that's not exactly accurate. But of course, it is an effective attack ad.
And I guess in the terms of things that you're watching out for moving forward, we have a House bill that it proposes slowing down the impending switch. Tell us about the bill, where it stands briefly.
Right. And so you're talking about House Bill 184, and this is sort of a backstop in which sort of makes this whole thing a little bit even more interesting. What House Bill 184 would do is push the pause button on the clear pricing project, what Treasurer Folwell wants to do, and everything would apply the same as it does this year to next year. So whatever plan, whatever hospitals are reimbursed, basically just roll it over from this year to next year and everything goes along. And then it establishes a study commission to look at how hospitals and the state employees, or excuse me, the state health plan can work together to actually reduce costs. So there is going to be this game of chicken that sort of carries on for a little bit longer, but there is also that backstop. Now, the problem with House Bill 184 is that it has passed the House, but it has not yet passed the Senate. And the Senate, as of right now, appears to have less of an appetite to want to sign on and just have everything roll over for one more year. Now, of course, less of an appetite doesn't mean no appetite at all. And so we'll see if maybe attitudes change and there's enough people to sign on in the coming months. But as of now, they're not yet interested, though we still do have time before December 31st.
Jason DeBruin, WNC's data reporter. You can follow this story with his reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Jason, thank you.
Thank you.
Just ahead, we'll learn about the ongoing research into the mental health impacts of Hurricane Florence in rural eastern North Carolina. Please stay with us.